On Women of Harry Potter, we make sure to spend time to bless women who we really look up to and also women who we have a lot of problems with. And so right now, as part of our pre-roll today, I would like to offer a blessing for Petunia Dursley. Petunia is a woman who's given an opportunity to love a boy that has dropped off on her door and has failed miserably in that attempt. I believe that we as a country are given the opportunity to right now love people who are on our doorstep, and we are also failing miserably. To that end, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text and Women of Harry Potter have launched a campaign to raise money for Raíces. Raíces offers legal representation and advocacy during cases of family separation and support social services for refugees. We are trying to raise $25,000 by Christmas, and we are already well on our way. If you go to harrypottersacredtext.com and click on the campaign, Don't Be a Dursley, you can join us in this effort to raise money for Raíces. A young boy was left on the stoop of his aunt's house at the mercy of relatives who didn't care about him. As fans of Harry Potter's story, we have an obligation to make sure that there are structures for children and adults who have nowhere safe to go. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for, meeting me inside of a beehive today. A lot of people were really against us doing a show here, but I think it's beautiful.
I mean, it's beautiful, obviously, but I do feel a little bit bad that we're taking up space from the bees, you know? It's nice that they're making space for us, though. I appreciate it.
Yes. We would like to thank our sponsors for today's episode, the bees of this hive. Today, we are continuing our series, really trying to lift up the voices of the very few women of color in the Harry Potter universe. And we are lucky enough to be joined by the amazing Kathy Tu, incredible podcaster, early supporter of our podcast, and we're just like a huge, huge fan. And she is one half of the Nancy podcast on WNYC. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so we invited you to come on and bless the incredible Cho Chang. What are you blessing her for today?
Well, I've been thinking about this, and I feel like it's hard for me to really put to word like a feeling, but I guess I'm blessing Cho Chang for being clearly a minority in the Harry Potter world, but also excelling at everything and also suffering so much and just like, I guess, just being herself in this world where she goes through a lot, but you don't really learn that much about her. So I guess just existing in the Harry Potter world is enough for me to bless her.
Yeah, she is a character who just so much is put on. Yeah. She has to be an excellent student. She has to be absolutely gorgeous so that mm-hmm. both Cedric and Harry want her. She
exactly.
has to be not just a great, you know, Quidditch player, but be a great, like, sportswoman of Quidditch, right? Like, have the best manners on the Quidditch pitch. Like,
yeah.
she's the one who points out to Harry that he's in trouble when they think that there's a Dementor. So, like, she mm-hmm. has, like, an ethnicity tax or a race tax on her by
yeah.
existing in this school.
Yeah, and, I mean, she's a great student. She's a great athlete. The way Cho defends Marietta, which I think is the right thing to do when Marietta, like, rats out Dumbledore's army, and then Harry gets so mad at her, I'm just like, I feel for you. Like, you're taking on so many different roles, and still, we don't know anything else about you besides the fact that, like, tragic things have happened, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and I completely agree. What she does for Marietta is 100% the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what Harry would do for Hermione or Ron, so I don't understand why he judges her for it.
Right.
The trio is way in the wrong, and Cho and Marietta are completely in the right on that whole situation.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I remember reading about Cho and being like, this is the person that I'm going to identify with, even though the way that she interacted with the world of Harry Potter, to me, did not signal like an immigrant experience. At first reading the book, I was kind of like, I don't quite understand how to interpret this character besides I think they're signaling to me that this is an Asian character by just choosing to use their name, because I don't learn anything else about her. that would signal to me that she is anything but a white character, you know? And then I remember later on when the movies were coming out, there was so much press about who was going to play Cho Chang, because we knew that she was going to be Harry's love interest. And I remember thinking with my friends, like, this person gets to date, like, the most famous person in the Harry Potter verse. Like, she has to be perfect. Like, who was she going to pick? And I also remember me and my friends all thinking when they did pick Katie Leung, I think it's Leung, excuse me, I'm pronouncing her name wrong. I remember thinking they picked such a pretty person. And on top of that, they gave her an accent that was not who I would have thought somebody whose name Cho Chang would have. Does that make sense? Like, to me, somebody that kept a name Cho Chang would most likely have more of like a native, say, like, Chinese accent or something like that. But instead, I think she had, like, maybe a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Which, like, at the time, not really knowing where we fit in the world, to me, I was thinking at the time, wow, she's so much cooler than us. Like, she seemed to me like an Asian American almost, but she's so much cooler. She's got like a Scottish accent. And now I kind of like cringe back at the younger version of myself being like, that doesn't seem, I know that this is like a fantasy world, but that doesn't seem true to any sort of experience that I know about. So
yeah.
Interesting choices, interesting casting choices, and just general character development choices there.
Yeah, and just, like, interesting writing about any sort of, like, racial identity, right? Like, I just feel like she probably called Cho because she wanted an East Asian character and, like, didn't know how to describe her other than giving her a name that would signal that she's East Asian.
Right, right.
Right. And like not catching on to, right, that's exactly the kind of thing that I would catch on to, of being like, okay, that Jewish character's named Shmuley. Mm-hmm. Like, you would only name your child Shmuley if you were super Orthodox. And right, like,
yeah,
if you know all the rules inside of a world, you can pick up on all of those signals and like notice when they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I also think what you're really pointing us to is in underrepresented groups, of groups that are underrepresented in like mass media, there's so much hope and pressure pinned to every little decision on a character like Cho or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and I even find myself doing it like whenever it turns out that like a Jew has done something bad in the news, right?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, ugh, Jeffrey Epstein, why? Whereas like every time a, you know, white Christian like Trump does something bad, it's not like the entire Christian community is like, oh, you're representing us poorly.
Right. Yeah. They get to be individuals.
Exactly. Exactly. And Cho, Hermione, I think rightly points to all of the pressure that Cho is under
mm-hmm.
in that like brilliant Hermione way of saying, well, obviously she has feelings for you, but she's still sad about Cedric. And like, here are all the reasons that she could be crying during the first kiss. But Hermione doesn't know the added pressure, right, of like potentially being the only Chinese person at Hogwarts who is also under the like intense glare of everybody for being the girlfriend of Cedric, you know, like knowing
yeah.
that she's representing an entire race of people in the way that she grieves and the way that she dates.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when she was introduced in the series, I did also feel like I didn't quite relate to her because like in my school, which had a lot of Asian kids there, I felt like she would be like one of the popular Asian kids. And so like we wouldn't really hang out, but it was nice to have her there. But at the same time, I was thinking she is supposed to be like the Asian girl that we all strive to be, you know, like I can't think of like any part of her in the Harry Potter books where she sort of falters as like as a person, basically. She is perfect and kind of like all across the board, which is impossible to be. And I feel like after the series is finished, she kind of just like vanished away. She was like present for a little bit as this perfect person that Harry really liked. And then she kind of just disappears. I remember feeling like, what happened to her? Is she not in this world anymore? Like, what happened? I would watch a whole spinoff, read a whole spinoff on just what happened to Cho Chang.
Oh my God, me too. I also think, like, Harry always gets disappointed when he perceives her as not being perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
When she cries on their date on Valentine's Day mm-hmm. and doesn't just, like, go with the flow on him saying, sorry, I have to interrupt our date to go meet up with another girl. And she rightfully gets mad about
yep.
a Valentine's Day being interrupted for him to go meet up with another girl.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, whoa, emotions. And so we even see Harry, like, judge her for anything that he sees as her stepping out of line.
Yeah. Though I would also add, not that I'm defending Harry, but he just seemed real emotional during that time, generally. He seemed to be bouncing back and forth during that period
yeah.
of his life.
Well, as much as it impacts Cho that her boyfriend died, Harry actually, like, witnessed him die.
And... Right. Like, I feel like they're both traumatized and neither of them have
yeah.
worked through it.
No. I mean, and, you know, it, like, really begs being said every time you talk about the Harry Potter world that, like, they were 15 and, like, trying to take care of each
right.
other when they're both grieving. And
yeah,
I am wondering if there is, like, a discrimination component to the standard that he holds Cho to.
Hmm.
Like, just if he is, like, if Hermione were to cry, I don't feel he'd be like, ugh, why are girls crying all the time?
Right.
He gets so annoyed with Cho, but I think you're probably right. Rather than cry discrimination, I'll just have sympathy for Harry and say he didn't have the capacity to deal with somebody else's pain in that moment. And that's
yeah.
probably what that's about. Fine.
I guess it's hard to figure out when... You know, we're not given too much more background information about what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally read a spinoff series about
Cho. I wonder what happened. You know, like, I'm sure she went on to excel, probably also be an Auror. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. She was so good in Dumbledore's Army.
Yeah. Yeah. Ravenclaw. Come on. Very smart. And also a seeker, right? She
yeah.
can fly
yeah.
with the best of them. And I think... She's probably running the place.
I mean, and it makes sense because at the end of the day, it's a series about Harry. But as soon as he loses romantic interest in her, she just sort of drifts away as a plot point.
Yeah, you know, that's like, and that's pretty common. It's a standard that's starting to change, I feel like. But I feel like that has always been pretty common when, not even just about like an Asian character, but the female love interest is kind of there just to serve the main male character. So not super surprised, but I did love her when she was around. I love her more the older I get, actually. I feel like I have more empathy for her. When I was first reading it, I felt seen in a way, but also like I could never hang out with that person either. I wasn't her and I couldn't be friends with her. But it was nice that she had there was some representation. But also we would just like, she'd probably be mean to me or something. I don't know. Like that's how, it was a complicated relationship, me and Cho.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I hope that now you guys are friends because you guys are around the same age.
Yeah, I would say it's one of those things where like we probably weren't friends in high school, but like if we connected like 10 years later,
right.
we'd probably be like, oh my God, you're so cool.
So Ariana's theory about Cho is that, about Cho and Marietta, is that Marietta is in love with Cho.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. So, which I love that theory. She's like, why would Marietta, whose mom works at the Ministry of Magic, go to the Dumbledore's Army meeting unless she really loved Cho? And Ariana's like, and by that I mean really loved Cho. And I'm like, such a good point. So.
Oh my God, my mind is blown open right now.
So maybe Cho and Marietta get together eventually.
Oh my God, I would so watch that show or movie or read that book.
I know, the two baddest witches of the age. Like,
oh geez, okay.
Joining
well,
forces.
We just have to wait. I think we have to wait like 10 years when they start rebooting everything, and then maybe
yeah.
they'll be like, yeah, we'll do a thing that follows what happened to Cho and Marietta.
Yes. So my two favorite Cho moments are her siding with Marietta and standing up to Harry in that confrontation. Uh-huh. And then my other favorite Cho moment, and that is because, like, I'm a total sucker for sports movies. If I need a cry, I'm like, put on that Mark Wahlberg football movie. Put on, like, put on Mighty Ducks 2. I'll start weeping.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
So I am very inspired by a moment that would absolutely make me cry in the film version, which is when Cho is like, Harry, watch out, and like gives up going for the snitch in order to protect Harry because she thinks that a Dementor is after him. And so our quiz is about, it's just three questions and it's famous moments of sportsmanship in history.
Okay.
And 0 out of 3 is a passing grade. So you're gonna do great.
All right. Let's do it.
So the first question, at the infamous 1936 Olympics in Berlin, Jesse Owens, the American world record holder in the long jump, had foot faulted twice in his bid to qualify for the final. His rival, a German athlete named Long, aptly named, was clearly worried about Owens. So what did Long do? A, give Jesse Owens a pep talk and a hug. B, give him his lucky charm to wear. C, give Owens advice on how to adjust his run-up, or D, ask the judges if Owens could have one more chance.
Wow, these are very nice. Okay. I feel like maybe not the instructions, because elite athletes are probably not open to hearing about how to do something. So I'm going to strike that one off.
Okay.
Is it D?
So he actually gave him advice on how to adjust his run-up.
What?
I know. And Owens took the advice and then won the gold medal, and Long got the silver medal.
What?
I know. It's amazing. It's like,
wow,
this incredibly beautiful story. Like, right, it's like Nazism is on the rise. This like German and American come together in this like gorgeous moment of sportsmanship. Very Cho and Harry.
Oh, my God. Wow. I thought I was very cynical there.
I think that that's what makes the moment so beautiful, is that it goes against every stereotype that we have about athletes.
Gotcha.
And especially men. But
okay. All right. So doing well.
Yeah, you're doing perfectly. So we're going to fast forward by about 60 years. And in 1992, at the Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Derek Redmond from Britain was placed to win the 400 meter dash when his hamstring tore with less than half of the race to go. Redmond got up and attempted to hobble the rest of the distance to the finish line, but the following happened instead. A, his father ran onto the track, and father and son completed the course with Derek in tears to a standing ovation from the crowd. Aww. B, his second place competitor, Warner, asked for the race to be called off, not wanting to win if he didn't beat the best runner in the world. C, the rest of the runners, after they all finished, came back and carried him across the finish line. Or D, his coach came out and kissed him on the forehead in what is now a famous Olympic photograph.
Is it C? Did they come help him?
No, his dad came onto the track.
Oh,
isn't that the sweetest thing?
And that, like, is so sweet.
Basically carried him across the finish line.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It is really worth watching a video. It's so incredible.
Wait, so did he still win or did somebody else win?
No, somebody else won and they disqualified him, which is rude.
Yeah, it's very rude. That's a good moment. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Last question.
Okay.
We're going forward about 20 years.
Okay.
So in 2016, there was a group of 5 American gymnasts who won the 2016 team all around. They were the last group of gymnasts coached by Marta Karolyi. And so they named themselves in honor of the fact that she was retiring and had coached for over 50 years in the United States.
Oh, my God.
Did they call themselves the Fab Five, the Fierce Five, the Final Five, or the Fantastic Five?
Oh, I really hope it's the Fantastic Five. Is it the Fantastic Five? It's the Final Five, isn't it?
Yes, it's the Final Five.
Yes. That's my answer.
You got it right. I know I wanted to be the Fantastic Five, too. They were called the Fierce Five, but in that Olympics, because it was going to be their coach's last Olympics, they renamed themselves the Final Five.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
It's like the Simone Biles team, and she's a perfect person. So,
that was a fun Olympics to watch.
That was a really fun Olympics to watch. I like am very anti-sports, but like writing this quiz made me really weepy again. I was like, okay.
Sports movies are the only movies that make me cry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
I don't know what it is about them. Just coming together. They don't even need to win. Just coming together. I'm like, yes.
Oh, when they lose, if they do it with dignity, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, agree. Agreed.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for coming on and blessing Cho, who deserves absolutely all of the blessings in the world.
Yeah, especially since now I know that she's queer. It's great.
You learned it here first, folks.
Yeah. Breaking news. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
This has been The Women of Harry Potter. We are a Not Sorry production, and we are produced by me, Vanessa Zoltan, Ariana Nettleman, and Chelsea Erson. A big thank you this week to the incredible Kathy Tu and to WNYC Studios and Zakiya Gibbons for helping with recording on their end. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.